Welcome back in to the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. We got Father Lovell here today for the Coalition for Cancel Priests. Let's get into the show.
Hovering over the skies of a post-Christian society, we have spotted a man with a donut in one hand and rosary beads in another.
Child, I'm about to whoop Satan's behind.
He is boldly proclaiming truth and reason like no rigid Catholic ever has before. The David L. Gray Show begins now.
Lovell, thanks for coming back on the David L. Gray Show. How you doing?
David, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for coming all the way from Germany to participate in our conference last week.
Yeah, it made it an international conference. You had myself there. You also had Kennedy Hall from the other side of the, from the north side of North America. So he was. So it's like a whole international conference, right?
We also had a priest from Scotland. Obviously, yeah. Weston was there. We had people from all over the country. And while we did get criticized leading up to the conferences, you're having it in Chicago. I don't want to go there to get shot. Well, one, it wasn't in Chicago. It was right outside of Chicago, but it wasn't in Chicago, but it was right next to one of the busiest, if not the busiest airports in the world. Mm-hmm. And a place where you can fly into. I always like to tell people the only nice thing left about Chicago is that you can get pretty much a direct flight from anywhere. In Chicago. And we had that. I mean, I met people from Maine, Florida, Arizona, California, Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't think I met anybody from Alaska or Hawaii, but if they were there, send me a shout out. I would love to hear from you.
Yeah, it was an amazing gathering. Like you said, you could really walk from the airport. it was that close if you really wanted to. The attendance was amazing. It was jam-packed in the conference room. It didn't look like there were any seats available. The tables were close, but not so close enough that you can walk around. So you made all the use of the space. But it was a two-day conference. Usually what I've seen when I'm at conferences like these or speak at them or attend them, that is typically maybe a one-day conference, maybe five speakers. If it's 2 days, it's still not that many speakers. I mean, this was a massive international conference that took all your staff, all their labor, all their hard work to put this on. But what I want to ask is, like, what made you go? I mean, you're not from Texas. I mean, what made you go so big or go home?
Well, but I am from Chicago, and until recently, Chicago had the biggest skyscrapers in the world. We definitely have the biggest shoulders. I certainly proved that by my frame. That's one thing that everybody, that when they first meet me, they go, wow, you're tall. We do things big in Chicago, not just in Texas, that's true. But to be honest with you, we had so many people in the speakers reaching out that wanted to participate, and it worked out great. One thing that Anthony Abbati, who spoke at the conference, in fact, it was his first time speaking, said afterwards is that it was kind of nice that the speakers were limited to 30 minutes. It forced them to get their message down concisely, but it also allowed people to get up, stretch, take a break, because we were chugging along, especially that first day. And we amazingly kept on time. And that's because of our dedicated staff. Especially Kayla Williams, Joe Gallagher, Tom Oglesby, who serves on our board as president, did just such a wonderful job of keeping things going that we were able to do this. And I always like to tell people this. It is better to have a schedule and have to modify it than it is to have chaos and just hope the Holy Ghost performs a miracle. I think a lot of miracles happened that weekend, but it was great to see so many people come from around the country in support of Canceled Priests. And one of the reasons we do it is that it's celebrating our second anniversary. We were founded on the feast of St. John the Baptist, who after Our Lady is our primary patron. And we wanted to celebrate that wonderful gathering 2 years ago in Lombard, Illinois, where in less than 2 weeks, we were able to throw together a 1,000-person event. And we wanted to keep that going and keep that momentum going. And so last year you came and spoke at our Beloit conference, which was only 1 day. I think we had a dinner the night before, but it was only 1 day. This year you came back better dressed, mind you. Thank you for that. And we were able to have so many, from academics to evangelists to priests to a high school dropout, speaking about the faith. You saw Catholicity on display, and it was wonderful.
Yeah. A lot of feedback I got from it from over the 2 days. I think a lot of people were just blessed in so many different ways, because there's such a wide range of speakers talking about so many different topics. But how do you think it all came together as far as the theme of the conference being a house united? How did that all come together with this group of speakers that you had, and with the council priests that you had there, and all the people who came from across the country? How did that work out?
Well, I would like to say it's because we're in Illinois and we're devoted to Abraham Lincoln, who gave that great speech in Springfield before the Civil War, "A House Divided Cannot Stand." But to give credit where credit is due, the idea came from the head of our communications, Joe Gallagher. He sat down with Jesse Romero, Tom Oglesby, and myself in Dubuque, Iowa in March, because we were looking for a theme. Last year's theme was Finding Hope in the Desert. Yeah. That theme worked very well, to the point that my podcast, which you've been on, is entitled now Hope in the Desert. And I like telling people this. I'm not the biggest fan of mission statements or themes. I don't know if it's the man in me or what. It's just like, let's just do the conference. We don't need to have the titles of the talks. You know, just get up there. People are coming to listen to David L. Gray speak. That's why they're coming. I don't need a title from David L. Gray in order to do that. But Joseph Gallagher, who is a lot more media savvy than I am, said, "Father, we need to have this. And not only that, we need to have it where the coalition is truly that, a place where people can come and unite, where people can come and have disagreements. And it's not about stabbing each other in back or clickbaiting or attacking each other. It's saying, look, Catholics can disagree on things. You see that in our speaker lineup. But we are first and foremost a house united because we all want to get to heaven." And I think Jesse Romero summed it up, and obviously Joseph Gallagher introduced him Friday night, is that when we go before our particular judgment, we are going to have to hand over the sword that Christ gave us at our baptism and confirmation to show how many demons we slayed. I like to say, when we go to our particular judgment, we have to have the train of souls that we save. So often people think, well, Christ has won the war, Christ has won the battle, that's it. Well, no, our mission is to save as many souls as possible. And the more souls we save, the closer we get to heaven. And that's the whole thing, and sharing that good news. And it's also about having a conversation. That's how evangelization begins. So, you know, for example, Anthony Abbati said, "I disagree with David L. Gray and his stance on the death penalty." All right, well, there's been a lot of change and confusion, especially in the last 20 or 30 years, about the death penalty. Let's sit down and have a conversation. You know what walked away? Anthony walked away from the conference going, "The greatest gentleman I met at the conference was David L. Gray." Well, there we go. You know, it was that conversation. That's where evangelization starts. But if we start with throwing stones, if we start with "you're a schismatic" or "you're this" or "you're that," how is that evangelization? It's just forcing people into their corners. And unlike some who like to say unite the clans, but then also say "except for you" and "except for you" and "except for you," we want to say, no, we want to be a house united and show the importance of being a coalition.
And one thing that everyone can agree with, I think, is the mission of the coalition. I mean, you're out here providing assistance as far as just basic needs or legal support and helping people's emotional support, just helping priests who should not be out of ministry, doing what you can to help them in their life and help them get back into ministry. And I think that's something that all people of good faith can agree on. I think the evidence of that is, I was looking at your YouTube channel and I was looking at some of the videos that had been put out, and perhaps we should talk about, I guess, what happened. I'm making a note here. Let's talk about what happened after you put up the video of Abby Johnson and her speech. But I was on the YouTube channel, and I was, you know, looking at your YouTube channel, Coalition for Council Priests. And if you haven't subscribed, please go over there and subscribe. And one of the videos that has gotten the most views so far was the roundtable that you had of all the council priests that you had there. And I was thinking, wow, that's something. That is, it's not these individual talks that people are sort of gravitating to right now, but people want to hear from council priests. They want to hear their story. So what's going on there? Why do you think is that that has been the most popular response so far? And even at the conference, I would say that that's also what at least a couple of people told me, that, wow, that was, man, that was something here from those council priests. Why is that?
I think it's because, as you said at the beginning of your question, is people are coming there in order to support the mission and council priests. They want to hear from their shepherds, from their fathers. And many of them are not getting fed at their local parish. We know that. Now, we're a coalition that has many trads, but also many what I would like to call either neocons or charismatics, but everyone's on the right, and I hate using political terms, coming together. So for many people, for them to hear the teachings of the church enunciated, spelled out, whatever term you want to use, by the priests that were trained in order to do this, it's a wonderful thing to do. And I think a lot of people gravitate towards that and want to watch it because of what is being said. You know, you'll get something, you'll get strong statements from Father Altman that get the people riled up. I always like to say he's throwing chum in the water. All right, but then you'll get very erudite, kind of take a step back and let's analyze this from Father Trico or from Father Nix. You have that wonderful reflection at the end by Father Fausching, by Father Jeffrey Fausching. And it's just a chance for them to see them. And as I said in the Q&A, not all the council priests went up there. Some were in attendance that held back because they're just not ready to get up in front.
Yeah.
And so when people say, well, how many priests are you helping? Well, I think it's a drop in the bucket for all the canceled priests. We talked about this during the Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
But Father Altman and I, probably around 2,000, he thinks it's a little bit more just in this country.
Wow.
We're only helping about 50. That's either because A, the priest doesn't know about it. B, the priest doesn't need support right now. I know a very good friend of mine in the Diocese of Rockford is a canceled priest. He actually has his own ministry. He has his own website. But he also comes from a very wealthy family that takes care of him. Now, I'm going to say this. He does everything possible not to let his family take care of him. Because, again, we're men. And so we decided that we were going to have the priests up there. And I think what we're going to start seeing more of is, especially the priests that you saw up on stage, doing more videos, answering more questions. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do that. We're going to do a complete revamping of our website, which is desperately needed. But please, mm-hmm. still go to canceledpriest.org if you'd care to donate. And we're going to just continue building up what the coalition is about, and that's helping priests and making people aware. I think so often, David, people think that we're a group that are just attacking the bishops. And what you mm-hmm. saw there was a groundswell of support for Bishop Strickland, because it was announced at the conference
yeah.
that he's under Vatican investigation. There's an apostolic visit happening. And you saw, led by the priests and led by Jesse Romero and John Henry Weston, a move to say, no, you are the type of bishop that we want, that we need in this country. And we're going to start seeing a lot more of that, I think.
At last year's conference, it was Friday when we got the news from the Supreme Court had overturned Roe Wade. And man, that was, I think I was back in the hallway and I was selling some of my books at that conference. And I just heard this just raucous thing, which is weird because I knew Dr. Peter Kwasniewski was speaking. And I know he doesn't elicit that type of response during his talk, right? So I was, oh, is speech over already? But no, they had gotten news that that abortion had been returned back to the states. And so that was something. That was like an emotional, like, high, like, wow. Finally, like at last. And then at this conference, we get a different type of news about there being some sort of apostolic visitation down to Bishop Strickland in his diocese. So, you know, that was a different type of reaction. And I was looking at the people hearing that news and people who were talking about it. It seemed to be people just felt attacked. Like, here we go again. And I guess at that point in time, people could just like turn to the Holy See, turn to Vatican, turn to the Pope, and people could have been victimized, and they could have just, you know, just went into that whole thing of feeling like victims and blaming the Pope and all this stuff. But no, that wasn't the response at all. And you have a video up on your YouTube channel, and talk about what did happen after people got that news.
Prayer. It's as simple as that. And we decided before we went up there that we were going to make it about letting Bishop Strickland know that we are praying for him. All the priests got up on stage. We gave him our blessing. And really, we were giving it to all the bishops that are being persecuted, because they sent two really liberal bishops. One of them is from Chicago originally, to investigate him. I mean, the deck was stacked. I mean, there's no doubt of that. And if anybody says otherwise, it's just simply not paying attention. Now, it would have been one thing if they sent out to Tyler, Texas, for an apostolic visitation, Bishop Papraki or Archbishop Corleone, both of whom are very good canon lawyers. But no, they send down two men, both of whom I believe are retired, at least one is, that have always had a very progressive liberal streak in them. And just a reminder to everyone, Tyler, Texas is booming with vocations. As far as I know, they're nowhere near bankruptcy. Parishes are growing, even though it's a very small diocese in East Texas, it is growing. Why are they getting an apostolic visitation? Now, everyone's commented on this. It's because a few weeks ago, it's not the LA Dodgers. At least it's not. That might be part of it. But I believe the reason is that Bishop Strickland a few weeks ago came out and basically said that he is not going along with the program of Pope Francis. Did he say that Pope Francis wasn't the Pope? No. Did he say that we shouldn't pray for the Pope or shouldn't support the Pope? No. What he was saying is he wasn't going along with the program. And to be fair, most of us are like this. What news did we just get over the weekend of this disastrous appointment to the dicastery? Now the dicastery used to be called Congregation for Doctrine of Faith. You know, there are a lot of bad things coming out of Rome. So when somebody says, do you not follow the program of Pope Francis? Well, if it involves Pachamama, if it involves promotion of any type of same-sex unions or unionization or legalization of homosexuality, if it involves anything like that, well, no, I don't support that. I don't know how any Catholic could. Does that mean that we shouldn't be praying for the Pope? Of course not. Yes, pray for him. This is very difficult times that we're living in. And as a history buff, David, I can tell you right now, I didn't think this 10, 15 years ago, but I believe the age that we're living in now is even worse than the Arian crisis. And it was bad in the Arian crisis. Yeah. It was really bad.
Yeah.
But we are called to this age to be saints. God placed us in this time in order to do great things. And now what I'm looking for are the great saints. I'm looking for the Charles Borromeos, the Catherines of Siena's, the Philip Nerys, the Pius V's. I'm waiting for them. I might be talking to one right now. I'm not for sure. All I know is that we need to have great saints rise up, because this always happens in the church. When a crisis happens, great saints rise up to put the church back on course.
One of the things that saints do, I think, is they also start missions. I think your mission that you co-founded is definitely one of them. And so I thank you for doing that. It's something that saints do. We always see they do something, right? So their prayer life and their faith is always activated. So, and like you said, the Holy See never sends friendlies to these apostolic visitations. They're never friendlies. They're, you know, like they're like devil advocates, but they're even worse. I remember there was a bishop, I think in Tennessee, I can't recall his name, but he was a brown skinned man, but he was removed.
The Bishop of Memphis.
Yeah. And now that it happened pretty fast and pretty swiftly is a type of the same thing. There was some sort of, they're hearing from the people, the parishioners and, you know, the people in the diocese, and maybe really some for some priest under him making these complaints. And it's you know, and they I think they sent to him, they sent Gregory and some other person who I thought may have been friendly, but turned out not to be friendly at all. But what happened in, so contrast this whole thing that's going, what's going over and going to happen in Kentucky, I think in Knoxville, with that Bishop Sticca there in his retirement, and the whole thing.
We're in Tennessee again. They're getting a lot of apostolic visitations in Tennessee. I'm not too familiar with the Bishop Sticca situation. All I know is he has said a lot of weird things and has done a lot of weird things. And, you know, just to let everybody know, there is, even under this pontificate, under this papacy, there have been some things done that were right and correct. And from everything that I'm seeing, it looks like Bishop Sticca was doing something wrong and deserved an apostolic visitation under the, I think it was under the current motu proprio of the Pope, Vos Estes, for an investigation. People requested it. They got it.
Okay.
It does not look like this is what's happening with Bishop Strickland.
No.
Father Altman mentioned this either in his talk or in the Q&A, that basically it was people saw Gregory and Wuerl go over to Rome shortly after Bishop Strickland's tweet, and basically convinced the Pope to start an investigation. Did the same thing with the Bishop of Memphis. Cardinal Wuerl, even though he's in retirement, clearly still has a lot of power and a lot of say. And what we're seeing is people have to realize, I don't know if they're going to remove Bishop Strickland. In one sense, I hope they do. It's going to galvanize a lot of people. But in another sense, I think they're just sending a message to the other bishops. You stay in line with what we're doing, or we're going to come after you next. I think that's the sad thing.
Yeah, it could be another example, you know, what I call buck breaking, you know, making an example, these public whippings the slave masters would do. Stay in line, get in line, that type of thing. This is really, really interesting. If the Bishop Sticca thing, he seemed to be one of them. He seemed to be one of the boys. He seemed to belong to the same club. And he got away with so many disgusting things for so long. Sometimes even demons have to say, we need to make an example out of you too. So it's a very interesting time, like you say, that we're living in. I want to turn to another note about the conference, though. You know, some funny things happened as well. So there was, you know, everyone had, you know, largely that 25, 30 minute window in which to speak. And I appreciate Joe Gallagher and you know, giving me an extra 5 minutes because I think you knew I wanted to tell some jokes. So I appreciate that. But
I thought Father Hell No was going to show up, and I was ready. I was hoping for that. Which, by the way, in the next consistory, he should become a cardinal. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll see what his future holds. But Dr. Janet Smith. So she's speaking, and her time is up. I mean, it's like way up, and she just goes into this comedy thing. It just really turned out to be really, really, really funny how she held on for maybe like another 10 minutes into her speech. I thought that was hilarious.
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. I walk into the room because I'm all over the place. You know, I'm the sacristan for the priests. If they need help with their private masses, I'm making sure the vendors are happy. As you well know, we had a second room for vendors that was not being as populated by the participants as the other side was. I was trying to keep everybody happy and keeping fires out. So I walk into the room. I sit down at the AV station with Joe Gallagher. I see Joe Gallagher giving her the wrap it up sign, and she's ignoring him. So he says, Father, we're trying to get Janet Smith to wrap up. Can you give her the sign? She doesn't see me. So I stand up, all 6'4" of me, and I give her the sign. And the look of death. I'm surprised four horsemen didn't come charging at me. The look of And then she started going after me. And Dr. Janet Smith, who is one of my dearest mentors, even though I never had her for class, I didn't go to the seminary she teached at. Yeah. She's always had an open ear to bounce things off of. If I'm writing an article to say, you know, doctor, I want to say this, she's great. But she said to me, well, let me backtrack. The day before, we're sitting at the same table and she's talking to me and it's so hard to hear. She's across the table. I'm trying to listen. Well, at a certain point, my gaze must have went off in the wrong direction. And she says, Father, it doesn't look like you're listening to me.
Yeah. I mean, the way she's going after you just reminded me of how Trump used to go after the fake news. Because you were back there with the camera.
And I just looked her straight in the face. I said, we're not married, Janet. And she laughed because we have similar sense of humors. And it was just great. And she said to me afterwards, she says, you know, Father, I just do that because all men need a nag. And priests aren't married and they need a nag. And so I'm going to be your nag. And I said, that's fine. You know, that's fine with me. I was fine to be the butt of the jokes. Everybody got a huge laugh out of it. And I'm fine with that. But she gave a great talk. She gave an excellent talk. When I was calling the speakers or emailing them like you, asking, is it all right if you just do 30 minutes? Janet Smith was just like, oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. And I don't have a title for my talk. She was the one that said that. I don't believe in titles. And so she was the one that was going long while I had other great speakers like Dr. Peter Kroshnevsky who were saying, I don't know if I could make it 30 minutes. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Please try your best. But everybody loved him as well. There was no E-list speaker. Everybody was on top of their game. And I think that's what really helped. And then just the fellowship, again, speaking with Dr. Janet Smith during one of the lunches, she says, these things are great because it's, especially after COVID, it's bringing people back together. Mm-hmm, so for those that say, well, I'm just going to watch the videos, you're only getting about half of what happened at the conference. The fellowship was awesome.
Yeah. What happens at dinner and after dinner is sometimes the best part, connecting with people on a different level. I met so many new friends. That was great. I think Alex, there's a lady named Alex from Kansas. We were just in a bar area with everyone else. And we talked maybe late into the bar close, just great conversations about everything. So, I think it was my friend, Stella Morris, her birthday. So that was going on and it was just a really great time. So a lot of fellowship there. So I can't wait to see all those talks that are being posted on the Coalition for Council Priests YouTube channel and the Rumble channel. So please get over there and check those out.
And if another I can thing, interrupt you for a moment, also Spiritus TV, we have it up. You cannot get Abby Johnson's talk on YouTube. So Rumble or Spiritus TV, but all of our platforms, if people can go over and like and subscribe, that would be great. David, you know this as well as I do. It would be great if all Catholics could get off of YouTube and just be on Rumble or Spiritus TV. Yeah. But we're getting views in the thousands on YouTube. Yeah. We're on Rumble, we're getting views in the dozens. But I'm going to keep pushing it. We gotta fight back against the oligarchs that are keeping free speech down.
I mean, you did the right thing. I mean, I think most people knew that Abby Johnson's speech at the Coalition was not going to, you know, stay long on YouTube. But you did the right thing. We have to be as many places as possible. We can't let the devil keep us out of their spaces because they would like to do that. They would like us to just be off around on just in some spaces where people won't see us. But we have to be as many places as possible. That's what you have to do. And I want to thank you as well. I told you what I was going to speak about at the conference about Freemasonry. And this, I think, was the first time that I know of, at least from what myself and, you know, John Salza, we talked about, is that this is the first conference, major international conference, that broached this subject about why Catholics cannot be Freemasons. And you let me go on for this about 30 minutes, talk about the Masonic program and why Catholics cannot be Freemasons. And there's been, of course, there's been conferences where people talk about Freemasonry, blame the boogeyman, like, oh, Freemasons is to blame for this, blah, blah, blah. That's easy. Anybody can do that. But to have the people to come to a conference and lay out the case about why Catholics cannot be Freemasons, especially in a city like Chicago that's infested with Freemasons, was something that I'd like to thank you for allowing that platform for that topic to be very important topic to be discussed.
We talked about a lot of controversial topics. I don't know why Freemasonry would be. Even in the Code of Canon Law, the current Code of Canon Law, you are excommunicated if you join a secret society. It's as simple as that. And we have to work to make the Knights of Columbus what they're supposed to be, which was, first and foremost, a Catholic fraternity of men that fights Freemasonry. Yeah. And it's sad not seeing that anymore. And I'll also throw in there, because we are in Chicago, the Knights of St. Peter Claver. But we have to do that. And I didn't know until you told me this a couple of months ago that Chicago really is the hub, for lack of a better term. We were talking about airport hubs earlier, but is the hub of Freemasonry.
Yeah,
it is, you know, and what do we see with the Archdiocese of Chicago? It is the hub of liberal Catholicism. We could talk about Tobin, McElroy, and all these other really liberal bishops, but Supich takes the cake, sad to say.
Yeah, Chicago is an epicenter for a lot of bad things in society, and it's always been Masonic friendly. Even when I became a Freemason, you know, you sometimes take these road trips, and we went to Chicago, and I just knew, not being any sort of Christian at all at that time, that there's something dark here. You know, there's a Freemasonry that I came into in Ohio, and this is something different here. It was just a feel when we experienced that, when we saw the third degree again put on in that jurisdiction. It's something in just the lawlessness that you see in Chicago in society. It's just all part of that whole thing. And it's we definitely need to keep working and praying and activating ourselves into that cesspool of everything that's offensive to God and that takes place in that city. But wrapping up here, Father, I wanted to ask you, what can people look forward to next with the Coalition for Council Priests? I know you do a lot of local events. I suppose you'll keep doing those, but will you be also in the future be looking for to have more big conferences like this?
We are planning, at least right now, looking into doing it again next year. I mean, obviously a major conference like this takes 12 to 18 months to plan. Yeah. This is the second one under our belt. Lombard doesn't actually count. That was just a one-night event. But the responses are so great. What we're looking for is a place that could make everyone happy. And that doesn't exist, and I know that. But we're hoping to find a good location at a reasonable price. These hotels are not cheap.
Yeah,
and you know, people kind of wonder, why is the ticket so expensive? And I always, you know, I was telling people leading up, take a look at other Catholic conferences. We're actually a lot cheaper. You know, we want to make it as affordable as possible. But you know, we're looking at somewhere possibly a red state, but again, near a hub. You know, right now we have a house. In fact, I'm in it right now in the studio in Northwest Indiana. You know, where we're looking at a place around here, so not too far from Chicago. But a little bit safer. So it there's a lot of things that we have to look into. And again, a lot of these banquet halls, a lot of these hotels, they're booked up a year in advance.
Mm.
So that is part of it. But we're definitely hoping to do this again. We're definitely hoping to have great speakers like yourself come back out and speak, because people need to hear this. As I said at the beginning of the interview, you saw Catholicity on display. Yeah. At the conference, you know, young, old men, women, everyone was there. Academics, high school dropouts, everybody in between. And that's what people need. And people need that nourishment and to keep getting that word out. You know, one of the things I said in my talk was, go out, all 400 of you, go out and start telling people about the coalition and the need to help priests.
Yeah. That's what I'd like to see. The coalition, I know you do this with local events as well, but I was just fascinated by how many people, well, obviously from Chicago were there. Even after on that Sunday, I went to Mass at St. John Conscious, and people were there, you know, had recognized me, and they were saying, "Oh, they," but it didn't come to the conference. They said, "Oh, how did the conference go?" So they're just interested. They were hearing about the coalition does something, right? It activates a lot of senses, like, "Oh, there's canceled priests. Tell me more about this." And so I would definitely like to see the conference, even if it's not a major conference, just branch out to more cities all across the country, even in places where you don't have friendly bishops, like Chicago, and get people's senses activated about what's going on here. Because I think that really helps. So,
and we're trying, we've been doing that. We kind of pulled back in February as Lent was beginning to prepare for this conference. Mm-hmm. So we are really looking into getting back to the meet and greets, just one night events, whether it's just a small dinner or at a restaurant or something, just to get the word out and come to people. But we've been really almost all over. I think the only place that we really haven't been so far is New England, is the Northeast for a conference, for a meet and greet. So I would love to see just meet and greets around the country leading up to the conference. And, you know, I realize it's not cheap coming to these things. Not only are you paying for the ticket, you're paying for a hotel room, even if it's discounted, you're paying for the travel. We're not in a great economy right now.
Yeah.
Gas is not cheap. I get that. But for the 400 people that came, imagine what they would do if they just went out and told 10 other people. And, you know, everyone, keep the coalition in your prayers. You mentioned about how you're meeting all these people at St. John Cantius that didn't go to the conference. And I'm glad that they were open about it because, you know, we're the type of organization that makes enemies, sadly. We don't want to make enemies, but because we're viewed as supporting priests that are going against their bishop, even though we're not going against the bishop, we are supporting justice. You know, there's going to be a lot of enemies out there. The devil is going to attack. And so there's a lot of times a lot of misinformation that is going out. And we have to counter that with truth and with charity.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So, man, what a wonderful conference it was. And everyone, keep going over to the Coalition for Council Priests website, all their social owner social media platforms, and keep supporting them how any way that you can, through prayers, through spreading the word, through financial contributions. This is a mission. I don't really support too many missions. I'm quite particular because I don't oftentimes trust the people that are leading them. I don't know enough about them. So I'm very particular about the things I support and endorse. You don't see many things, commercials on this. I'm advertising for gold, and you know. I think you may have seen on here was the the Saint Maker calendar. I really believe in that. So I'm very particular about the things I support. And as you know, the Coalition for Council Priests is something I've supported from the beginning, and there's a reason why. I trust the leadership. I trust the people behind it. I met the people like Kayla, people who make who grease the wheels. And what they stand for and what they're trying to do. This is something that I really believe in. And I hope that you believe in it too. So, Father Lovell, thanks for coming on the show. And would you lead us out with a blessing and a final word?
I certainly will. But, David, thank you for those kind words so much. You have been a huge supporter of ours. And it means a lot for me and for the entire staff when we hear those things, you know, because again, we need your prayers. Everybody needs prayers, but we are so grateful for your support. So thank you for that. Dominus vobiscum. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis patris et filii et spiritus sancti descendere super vos mani et semper. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching the show. For more content, just smash that subscribe button and a notification bell, and you'll be notified whenever I upload new content. Hopefully, but not always, you'll get that notification. And also, please consider becoming a sponsor of the show. You can do this a couple ways, either by going over to patreon.com/DavidO'Gray, and just for a couple of dollars a month, you'll have access to all of our exclusive content over at stdominicsmedia.com or become a YouTube member of this channel. And again, for just a couple of dollars a month, you'll have access to all the content on this YouTube channel that is older than 5 months. But either way, please keep me in your prayers and I'll keep you in mind. And remember that Jesus loves you and is there for you. Thank you.